Men at Sea. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with the War Shipping Administration, presents the fifth in a new action series of our Men at Sea. The men who man the largest merchant marine the world has ever known. The Pacific Lifeline.
Stand by for an F.
Yes, sir.
Stand by for an F.
The hatches were battened down and secured. The vessel was loaded and ready and headed for a target date.
This ain't going to be no milk run, Nolan. You know that, don't you?
Where do you think we're going, Mac?
Look, how long have you been at sea?
Well, I made that first trip to the Hawaiian Islands.
Yeah? Well, this is different.
Yes, this was different. This time, the Benjamin Blake was carrying a battalion of Seabees and their housekeeping gear. Tents, cots, mattresses, food, and guns.
What do you think them Seabees is aboard for?
Yes, this was going to be different from the last run of the Benjamin Blake. Last time, they ferried men to Hawaii. But this time, they were not merely heading for some established base in the Pacific.
Let go of the stern line.
Let go of the stern line!
Stern line gone and clear, sir.
Slow ahead.
Slow ahead, sir.
See that ship at the wharf over there? That ship's loaded with bulldozers and tractors and cranes. See what I mean, Nolan?
Are we going to invade some new island?
Ain't you ever heard of sealed orders?
Wheel hard right.
Wheel hard right.
The stern moved out clear of the dock. The Benjamin Blake was like one piece of a complex jigsaw puzzle. One piece moving out to take its place with many other pieces. To make a great complicated picture.
Let go forward.
Let go forward!
This is probably going to be a big thing. Huh, Matt?
All gone forward.
All gone forward, sir.
Wheel hard left, full astern.
Wheel hard left, full astern.
Where do you suppose we're headed, Matt?
Huh?
Do you think we're heading out to invade some island?
Wherever we're going, we're going to have plenty of company.
From a dozen ports, ships of the United States Merchant Marine are heading out for a rendezvous with the Benjamin Blake. For weeks now, the preparations have been underway. Orders in duplicate, triplicate, quadruplicate. Stacks and sheaves of orders for food, for guns, for galley equipment, for latrines, landing boats, for diesel oil, lubricating oil, gasoline, tractor parts, for food, for medicine, and for men. All that is needed to take an island.
Oh, it's you, Nolan. You my relief?
Yes. You can turn in now, Seho.
Getting a little tired.
Yeah.
Keep a sharp lookout.
Pretty dark. Midnight.
If there's anything out there, you should spot it first here from the foretop.
You expecting to see something out there,
Seho? You can expect to see something anytime.
Something anytime. Benjamin Blake plowed on through the night, over the same sea lanes where American merchantmen have been fighting the battle of supply since Pearl Harbor. When the war broke out in the Pacific, the Japanese swept every United Nations vessel from the sea between Midway and India.
We've got to get men and supplies to our island outposts, and we've got to get them there fast.
That's what our military men said.
We've got to hold our outposts. They're a screen to protect us from the Japanese. And they're the outposts we must develop for future bases of offense against the Japanese.
That means ships, Admiral, and we haven't got them.
That's what our shipping experts said.
And it means crews, seamen, engine men, officers. It's a matter of racing the Japanese for these outposts.
That's what it was, the job in those early days of the war in the Pacific. A race with the Japanese for those islands.
I went down in the ship the day after Pearl Harbor.
But you'd been to sea before, hadn't you, Seagull?
Yeah, years ago.
And did they put you right on the Benjamin Blake?
No. The vessel they put me on went down in Empress Augusta Bay in Bougainville. In 1942, there were Japanese submarines everywhere.
Did you get hit by a torpedo?
Yeah. They almost blew the forecastle off her. Then I shipped on the Benjamin Blake.
Yeah. That the only time you got...
Yeah. Of course, they have seen other vessels hit, but things are different today. It ain't like in 1942 today.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Then I got to turn in now. Keep a sharp lookout, Nolan.
No, yes, Ahome. Yeah, I will.
From the foretop, the ship below looks different.
A whole battalion of Seabees down there under the decks. A whole battalion of trained men and all their housekeeping gear and guns. I get a little nervous, a little scared when I think about it. About how they're depending on me. Well, there's nothing out there in the dark. If there was, I could see it.
Foretop. Foretop from bridge.
Oh, yes, sir. Foretop. Foretop.
Can you see anything up there?
No, sir. Nothing but darkness.
It's beginning to get light in the east. Keep a sharp lookout.
Yes, sir. Yes. This is the bad time. Just before dawn breaks. I can see the armed guard down there on their guns. Sure looks good. With those deck guns, they can blow a submarine right out of the water. And... Hey. What's that? There's something out there. I'm not sure. Is there... Yeah, there is. Bridge! Bridge from foretop. Bridge from foretop.
Yes, foretop.
Off the starboard bow, sir. I can see something.
You make out what it is?
No, sir. It's black. It's something black.
That's a submarine, one of ours. We're in contact with it.
Oh, yes, sir.
We're approaching the rendezvous now. The point we'll meet the other ships of the convoy.
Yes, sir.
Report the moment you sight any other vessels.
Yes, sir.
As the dawn lifted like a curtain, the silhouettes of the other vessels took form out of the darkness. Ships stretched across the sea to the horizon, each moving into its own position. By daylight, all were moving ahead together, like one ship.
Remember what I told you, Nolan, about plenty company?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Mac, I do. Where'd they all come from?
Everywhere.
They all got here during the night.
Yeah. See that ship up there? You ever see that one before?
That was the ship loaded with yards and dock gear that was there when, where we were loading. Cranes and pontoons and all that.
Yeah.
Well, how did it catch up to us?
You tell me. And see that one there? That one ahead there?
Yeah.
They're all carrying CB cargo.
And look at the troop ships.
Some of them are carrying soldiers and some Marines. And a couple more probably carrying CBs like us.
Yeah. Those must be supply ships back there.
That's what they are. And that one over there, that's a hospital ship.
Hospital ship. Yeah.
That'll give you some idea what kind of a show we're going to.
Sunset last night, the Benjamin Blake was alone. Now it was accompanied by lines of ships stretching to the horizons. Cargo carriers and troop carriers and men of war on the warpath. Lines of ships moving toward Target D on Island X. New ships, newly off the waves, and old ships. Tough campaigners of more than 2.5 years of fighting the Battle of Supply.
I was in the invasion of North Africa.
That's the supply ship there on the right.
We went in with the first waves at Casablanca.
We did, too. We took in the gas and the lube oil and the diesel oil.
That's the ship astern there.
We took in the yards and docks gear, the cranes and the tractors and the other gear to set up unloading facilities.
That's the yards and docks ship up ahead.
After the North African landings, we were in on the invasion of Sicily.
We missed that one, but we went in on Tarawan.
We were on the way around the world, then, but we landed right after the Marines on any we talked.
Tough old campaigners, with records of participation in all the major operations since Pearl Harbor. And newer ones. Some of them on their first voyages. Some of them in a convoy for the first time. They plow ahead through the seas. And the lookouts scan every foot of the seas.
Submarine General quarters! Battle station!
Come on, kid, hurry it up, hurry it up!
Yeah. Trevallis, where's the submarine?
Merchantmen, seamen, run to their battle station. Every man to his post. And the Navy gunners of the armed guard. The sailors who stand watches day and night beside the anti-submarine guns and the anti-aircraft guns swing their guns round to the port beam. Every ship in the convoy suddenly bristles with guns.
Destroyers are opening up at the submarine.
Yeah. When do our guns open up?
When they get the order.
Hey, look, that ship carrying CB gear, just ahead of them. It's torpedoed.
Yeah, hit bad in the starboard quarter. Hit bad.
Look at that, Trevallis. Look at the hole that torpedo blew in.
Those dirty.
It's dropping out of line.
We keep right on going, don't.
Are we going to go away and leave it to sink?
A convoy don't stop for nothing.
But we just can't go away and leave.
Some escort vessels will drop out and stand by.
Oh, look. Look at those destroyers go for the place where the submarine was. Look at them cut through the water.
They're going to knock off the submarine if they can.
Like hounds after a hare, the destroyers cut away from the rest of the convoy. Slash through the water in tight circles. Suddenly, from their sleek decks, up fly depth bombs. They describe great loops in the sky and plunge down into the sea. The water explodes into the air, and below the surface, the churning water smashes anything that happens to be near it.
Do you suppose we got that sub, Trevallis?
Maybe someday we find out.
Oh, it gives me a great feeling to look out there at the edges and see those big battle wagons and those cruisers and those flat tops.
Yeah. Well, we are getting into Japanese waters. Maybe we're going to have use for them.
The convoy steams through the day, steams through the night, engines throbbing. The round-the-clock routine goes on. The convoy moves deeper into Japanese waters. And now, with every mile, every man on watch on every ship, the troop ships, the supply ships, the yards and docks ships, the battleships, cruisers, flat tops, the destroyers, every man on watch is doubly alert.
Foretop to bridge. Foretop to bridge.
Bridge from foretop. Go ahead, Nolan.
I think I spot an airplane, sir. Off the starboard bow, but high.
Off the starboard bow?
Yes, sir. It's way up there. I can hardly make it out in this twilight, but I think it's an airplane, all right.
I'll have a look, see if I can spot it.
Yes, sir.
In a minute, 1,000 eyes. Eyes on every ship in the convoy are scanning the darkening skies.
That's a Japanese reconnaissance plane.
Everyone knows what that means.
Vehicle convoy, troops and cargo carriers escorted by task force of battleships, crewed on aircraft carriers and destroyers. Heading west, northwest, position latitude.
Now there is grim activity aboard every ship. Preparations are made for the coming events of the dawn.
All right, keep that ammunition moving.
The ammunition already on deck is supplemented. Every man aboard every ship knows what is imminent. Every CB in the battalion, every merchant seaman, every sailor in the armed guard knows what is expected of him.
It may come before dawn.
In the dark, Seaman?
Yeah. That's the way they hit us at Empress Augusta Bay at Bougainville. It was hardly light.
All the lifeboats that have been kept swung out on their davits since the convoy got underway. All the life rafts that have been kept poised for instant dropping. All these are carefully checked again. Through the darkness, the ships push on, almost silently. Almost as if nothing extraordinary lies ahead. Below decks, the men off watch are in their bunks.
Hey, Nolan.
Nolan.
What?
Nolan. Come here.
Huh? What? Who is that?
It's me, McClanahan. Up here in my bunk.
Oh. Oh, it's you, Mac. What do you want?
Hey, something's the matter with me, Nolan. I'm sick.
You're sick? What's the matter with you?
I got a pain. I've got a bad one right here.
Maybe I better get the doctor for you.
No, don't do that. Wait a minute. Help me out of here.
All right.
That's it.
I'll be down to the sick bay.
On the top side, men scan the blackness of the skies, scan the blackness of the seas. Gunners, fire control parties all stand alert. Silence, except for the obbligato of the surging Pacific. In the sick bay, a swift, competent examination, an immediate diagnosis.
You have appendicitis.
Just as simple, as straightforward as that.
Appendicitis? No, not like a time like this. Why, by daylight...
By daylight, you should be under the anesthetic.
You ain't gonna have to. Look, Doc, why don't you give me some pills or something to ease the pain? You can operate after, you know, after tomorrow.
You better do what the doctor says, Mac.
Look, Doc, it ain't that bad, is it?
You should be operated on at once.
Ain't a fine thing, me. After
you
all...
You better do what the doctor says, Mac.
You stay here when he does it, huh, Nolan? Stay right here with me. Can he do that, Doc?
When do you go on watch, Nolan?
4 to 8 in the morning, sir.
Can he stay with me, Doc?
Yes, he can stay. Now let's get going. There's probably going to be other work for me at dawn.
The doctor's familiar surgery instruments come out. Sure dexterity.
That's it. Sponge now.
Familiar, all this. But the environment is different.
Tie it off. That's it.
Battalion of Seabees. The next compartments.
Sponge, please.
CB housekeeping equipment stowed in the holds below.
That's it. Now, suture.
Gun crews alert at their weapons on the top side.
Easy now. Another suture.
Lookouts scanning the blackness of the skies and the blackness of the seas.
There. Now the dressings.
Officers strategically posted. Ready to command.
Wheel them out. Put them to bed.
The convoy plows on. During the night, other vessels have been moving too. Moving toward the convoy. On them, Japanese have been busying themselves with bombs and bullets, and fighting planes and dive bombers and torpedo planes. On their charts, the position of the convoy at daylight is being plotted. Their pilots are briefed. They know the number and the kind of ships in the convoy. They know the power of the task force escorting it.
When do you suppose they'll get here, Travolis?
Take it easy, kid.
Yeah. Getting pretty light, isn't it? See you. Over there in the east? Which way do you think they'll come in from, Travolis? There it is. There it is, Travolis. There it is.
That's the siren on one of the ships up ahead.
Yeah. I wonder what they spotted.
General quarters!
The protecting planes from the aircraft carrier are already in the air to intercept the enemy. Every man on every ship is at his battle station. Merchant seamen and Navy on guard. And aboard the men of war of the task force, men are at every gun, heavy guns, anti-aircraft guns, powerful machine guns, ready to throw a curtain of steel into the skies.
Look, there they come. Whole formation of them. Look at them.
Yeah, that's them. The same kind that hit us at Bougainville. The same kind.
Those are dive bombs. They're going after our flat tops.
Look. Here comes some more from this side. A flock of them.
Those are torpedo bombers. See how low they're coming in.
They're coming right for us, those dirty...
He's sending that torpedo right straight at us. Here it comes. Here it comes.
Japanese planes came in waves from two directions. Now the convoy looks grimmer. There's one vessel less. Some of the others have scars. But the convoy plows on, drives forward through the Pacific. It has not slackened its speed one knot. Now it is deep in Japanese waters. Deep within range of land-based enemy planes, within striking distance of enemy naval surface craft. It plows on toward Target D, Island X.
How do we do up there, Nolan?
I thought we were goners when that torpedo plane sent that tin fish right straight at us.
How come it didn't hit us?
I don't know. It went straight by us and hit that supply ship on the other side of us. That's what sunk it.
Yeah, and me laying here like a cripple when something like this is going on.
How you feel, Mac?
I'm all right. I ain't going to miss it when we make the land, and I'll tell you that. I told the doctor, too.
You know what the scuttlebutt is, Mac?
About what?
We're going to make the landing within the next couple of days.
What? We ain't that near. I figured we wouldn't get there for another week or maybe 10 days.
Oh, we've been moving. You better get yourself all set to stay right here where you are until it's all over.
Not me. I ain't going to miss this. Call a doctor. You got to get me out of here. Call a doctor. Stay away from
it. It's only a matter of hours now. Now on all the ships of the convoy, preparations are made for the landing. There's a business-like tenseness on every one of the ships. The long lines of the procession head into the setting sun. The word has been passed now. They're going in the next morning.
I got an idea this is going to be a lot different from North Africa.
This is one of the ships that took in the supplies when the first troops went in at Casablanca.
Hope this ain't going to be like Tarawa.
This ship brought gas and lube oil and diesel oil to Tarawa.
No, this one can't be any tougher than the landing in Eniwetok.
This ship landed pontoons and tractors and bulldozers on Eniwetok.
Do you suppose they're waiting for us there on Island X?
What do you think?
Well, it's going to be rugged, isn't it, Seymour?
The troops on the other troop ships are getting ready now. The CBs on the Benjamin Blake are getting ready. And the officers are getting things squared round for the fastest possible unloading. And all through the night, the convoy plows ahead through the Pacific. On a vast, swelling, and heaving checkerboard, the ships of the convoy are dispersed over the waters fronting the attack beach of Island X. For this is the end of the long voyage. This is Target D.
Look at that. Look at those battle wagons hammer the beach.
Our airplanes have been hammering that beach for 10 days.
Why, they're pulverizing it.
It ain't a good place for them yaps to be now. But they're still there. Lots of them.
The bombardment goes on until daylight. The warships of the task force parading by and throwing mighty salvos of steel and explosives. Hundreds of salvos, thousands. Now the shelling stops, and the planes continue the bombing.
Half speed ahead.
Half speed ahead, sir.
The Marines and the soldiers have swarmed ashore. Now the Benjamin Blake and the other vessels carrying CBs move in close. The CBs stand ready to go over the side. The merchant seamen stand ready to unload their gear.
What hit us, Seaholm? What hit us?
Explosion. Back aft, on the port side. Sounded like it was a mine.
It must have blown a hole in us big enough to drive a truck through.
We are beginning to list.
We hit a mine, Capstone. We're starting to list.
Go back aft and see how serious the damage is.
Yes, sir.
We're drifting toward that reef. Pull astern.
Pull astern.
But the engines have stopped. The engine room is beginning to fill with water.
Order the engine room crew up on deck.
Engine room crew up on deck, yes, sir.
Swing hard to starboard. We'll use what headway we've got to put the bow on that reef.
Lazily, slowly, the Benjamin Blake, with its battalion of CBs, with its cargo of housekeeping gear, with its Navy gunners, its officers, its crew, lazily, it slides toward the reef. Now the order comes, start unloading. Boats go down over the side. Repairs to steam lines, to winches are quickly made. CBs clamber down over the side, down into the boats, and head for the beach.
Are we going to get unloaded before we sink, Travalis?
Who knows? The engine room is filling with water and rising.
Oh, Mac. Mac, who's looking after Mac down in the sick bay?
Who? McClanahan?
Yeah, he's helpless down there, and Betty's been operated on. He can't move. I'm going down there and get him.
Nora. Nora, come back here.
Come back here.
Nora!
Hey! Where are you?
What's happening out there?
We hit a mine. We're taking in water.
Are we sinking?
Oh, our bow's on a reef. We're unloading and the CBs are going over the side. Can you move?
I'm all right.
Listen, yeah, come on. I'll help you out.
What are you doing down here, Nolan?
Well, I just came down here to help Mac out, sir. He can't move himself. And
Mac's all right where he is. You get back to your post on deck.
Are we going to make it, sir? Are we all right?
Sure we're going to make it. As soon as we get these CBs and the housekeeping gear on the beach, we'll patch her up and try to get her off the reef. We got work to do and we haven't any time.
Shore, as the soldiers and Marines drove from the beachhead into the island, the Seabees and their equipment came close behind them. From the ships of the Merchant Marine, materiel poured ashore. Equipment to set up the docks and jetties and pontoons. Cranes, tractors, bulldozers, knocked-down Quonset huts, iron mattings for airstrips. Men and tools and weapons of iron from across the broad Pacific. At last, the job done. The Benjamin Blake, repaired, shipshape once more, leaves Island X and heads alone out across the Pacific.
It's like a moving picture, this business.
What do you mean, Mac?
It takes ships to do a job like this. And then when it's done, it's really just started.
Yeah?
You got to keep on moving in more and more supplies.
Yeah. Pretty out here tonight, isn't it, Mac?
Yeah.
Mac, where do you suppose we're headed for now?
Look, kid, ain't you ever heard of sealed orders?
Each new island our forces invade calls for the operation of a new supply line. Each new supply line requires more ships. More ships require more men. Men with sea experience. Men who can take aboard ship a seaman's knowledge under his hat, a seaman's skill in his hands. The need for experienced seamen is critical. Unless former officers and seamen now working ashore return to their old jobs at sea, it will be difficult to man the necessary vessels to keep all our supply lines open. If you've ever been to sea as a mate, engineer, AB, cook, baker, or radio telegrapher, here is your chance to step into a vitally important job. A job that only a man of your experience can fill. For further details, inquire at your local War Shipping Administration office or wire collect to Merchant Marine, Washington, D.C. Give your name, address, qualifications, and when you will be available. That's all you have to do. Wire collect, Merchant Marine, Washington, D.C. Men at Sea is offered as a public service feature in cooperation with the War Shipping Administration.